Pastor wanted me to kind of give you a briefing on issue one and issue two, do a little bit of a deeper dive than maybe what you're used to, definitely in the media. But before I get there, it's been tough. Can I just kind of give you an update of the campaign side a little bit? So we had the August election, right? And, a lot of folks were like, we're so confused. But the issue is, if a lot of the pastors won't preach this stuff because it's too political, and the media's lying through their teeth. Like, we just had the March for Life yesterday. Anybody get a chance to check out the March for Life? It was absolutely amazing. More people this year than last year. Thousands, very diverse group of people. We had an African-American pastor who's leading the charge of having 110 black pastors sign on to a statement that says that we oppose issue one. Very prominent pastors that typically don't vote our way. Definitely signed on to this. Awesome. They wanted to interview him. He's standing in the middle of the lawn. The media, Channel 4, is interviewing him. And when they're done interviewing him, she turns to the camera and she says, "We're out here at the March for Life. There must be 200 people gathered." There were thousands. Thousands. And you look to the news and you think it never happened, right? You can't trust the media on this stuff. But the biggest issue is, if you can't hear it in church and you're getting lies in the media, where are the body of Christ supposed to be informed? And a lot of us are afraid to talk about it, right? We're scared. You know, we don't want to get canceled. We don't want to offend anybody. So before I get into the issue, I want to talk a little bit about why we are so silent on this issue and why we need to speak up. Everybody say, seek the peace of the city. Come on, seek the peace and prosperity of the city. So at CCV, we try to do that. We seek the peace and prosperity of our cities and neighbors by advocating for policies that are in line with our biblical worldview. And what that looks like is, we're basically your ushers and your amplifiers down at the State House, right? So when things are going on in the districts that maybe it's a school board issue, nobody wants to listen to you, you know, so five people are like, you know, God and King over your children, and they don't want to listen to parents, then we amplify their voices at the State House. And then how many know sometimes what they say they're going to do when they get elected, they don't always do? So we amplify what they're doing behind closed doors at the State House back in the districts. And so we're your amplifiers and your ushers. Many times we are the ones that open the door for a lot of folks to come in and pray for their legislators. We just had one of the largest ever prayer at the State House here just recently. We bring in experts from all over the country to educate our members on the issue so that they can represent our state well. Amen? But let's get into the word real quick here. Jeremiah 29:4-7. How many are glad that this earth is not our home? This crazy earth, let's give God a praise for that this is not our home. However, this is what the scripture says in Jeremiah 29. This is what the Lord Almighty, the God of Israel, says to all. Everybody say all. All. Those I carried into exile from Jerusalem to Babylon. Build houses and settle down. Plant gardens and eat what they produce. Marry and have sons and daughters. Find wives for your sons and give your daughters in marriage so that they too may have sons and what? Notice there it does not say sons and sons. We'll talk about that another time. Increase in number there and do not decrease. Increase in number there and do not decrease. We'll talk about that in issue one here in a minute. Also, listen, seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I have carried you into exile, and then pray for it, right? Because if it prospers, you too will prosper. See, a lot of times, sometimes in the body of Christ, we lump all that we just read into the pray to the Lord for it. Now, we definitely need to pray to the Lord for it. Amen. That's our strength. But how many know there's some other stuff we're supposed to be doing too? Huh? Right? We want to intercede and pray, but we got to build. We got to plant. We got to settle. We got to take authority and dominion in the earth as salt and light. Amen? So yes, this is not our home, but family, it is our assignment. Come on. This earth is not our home, but according to this word and in Romans 13, this is definitely our assignment. And if there's anything that we are seeing or not seeing happening in the earth, it is on us, the body of Christ, the most influential group of people on the planet. So we cannot sit back and curse the darkness from our padded pews any longer. We have to engage, build, plant, settle. Why? Because as to the degree that our city prospers, right, is the degree to which we will prosper. Amen. Now, real quick, I want to just kind of clear this thing up. I'll give it to you. I did not sign up to be in politics. I'm a frontline guy. God called me to the ministry years ago. I've been traveling the country, different parts of the world, working with kids and families. And then for about a couple years, the Lord started sending me in different directions. I started seeing myself in D.C. almost every 2 or 3 months addressing watchdog organizations or what's going on with kids. And then I was down there at the State House. My daughter, I work in human trafficking, traveled the country with some of the survivors of human trafficking. And my daughter made a song, and she was singing it at the National Mall. And after the song, we all turned, and we were all stretching our hands, praying for the Capitol. And somebody took a picture right behind me and of me praying. I put that on my Facebook because that's my heart. I don't like politics, but I want to be involved in my government. Amen. And at the time, I didn't understand the difference, and I'm stretching my hand and we're praying. But how many know you got to be careful what you pray for? Because somebody came to my church a couple years after that, and I'm sitting on the front row, and he says, "Dave Mahan, come here real quick." Some guest speaker from California. Not real into California preaching, but but he says, "Come here," and I come to the altar, and he says, "When the phone rings and it's about politics, say yes, it's your father." That's how direct God has to be with me on this politics thing, right? My wife and I started crying because we've been seeing it for about 2.5 years that there was a season change coming. And that's when I got a call a few weeks after that by Aaron Baer, the president of CCV, and wanted me to do an issue briefing similar as I'm doing here with some members. I said, no problem. And he said, "Why don't you pray about coming and working for us full time?" And that's when I had to answer yes, because the Lord had already spoken to me. So I say that to say, family, you are not looking at a politician. I'm not running for office. I would just assume after church be in a tree stand somewhere in Southern Ohio, squaring up on a deer, right? You know, fishing somewhere, teaching young people about Christ and discipleship through fishing and outdoor ministries. That's my heart. But God said, I need you to come up a little bit higher and deal with the people who are pumping poison into the stream. Amen? So politics, family, may be man's thing. I give you that. But government is God's thing. How many know we've got 3 forms of government? We've got civil government, we've got church government, and we've got family government. Amen? And politics is a function of all three. Unavoidable. You all do it as well as I. Politics is man's way of getting their needs met within one of God's 3 contexts of government. Does this make sense? Not all y'all are nodding your head. Raise your hand if you have children. Okay, Christmas is coming up. Those little jokers gonna want a $250 video game console. Right? Daddy, you got that nice car. We out here in Upper Arlington and Pickerington. I know you can afford it. I mean, get out of here. No, you're not getting a $250. You got the one I gave you last Christmas. Well, Dad, if I don't get it, I'm going to go to school and all the other kids are going to have one and I'm going to get bullied. This is a healthcare issue. No. So you tell the child no. Does he stop there? No, he goes and lobbies mom, right? Mom, he pulls on her heartstrings, and so then she goes and caucuses with the head of state, which happens to be me, Dad. And we go back and forth for several weeks to figure out how we are best going to meet the needs of our constituent, and eventually the House makes a decision. Amen? That's politics. How many know somebody that left one church and went to another because of politics in the church? Right? They don't like how things get done, and some people get favored over others. Or listen, this politics is just man's way of getting their needs and desires met within the context of one of three God's government, including civil. So if you have bought the lie that we are not to be involved in politics, you have just done just that. You've bought the lie. We have to be involved. Do you realize that when they came over from England back in the day, they said, listen, we can't have another king like that joker we just left. that monarchy where everything is on one. He said, the heart is desperately wicked above all things, Jeremiah 17. Who can know it? So we need to separate the powers in America. And you know what they did? They went to the scriptures. Isaiah 33, the Lord is king, the Lord is judge, the Lord is lawgiver. Executive branch, judicial branch, legislative branch. And here we are, 2023, talking about the body of Christ can't engage in politics, in government. That is foolishness. And that is exactly why you sit at the table complaining and on Facebook complaining that the world is as bad as it is because the body of Christ has taken our voice out of the midst of all that, and life abhors a vacuum. And somebody's going to feel it, and they have. And it's time for the body of Christ to re-engage. And if we don't, family, we're talking about losing 30,000 lives a year if this Constitution passes. This constitutional amendment passes. One more little passage real quick. Well-known verse, and I'll get into these issues. But how many remember the parable of the Good Samaritan, where it talks about who is my neighbor? I love this passage when you talk about, you know, one of my favorite teachers is Jesus, the Christ. On one occasion, an expert in the law, everybody say expert in the law. Expert in the law stood up to test Jesus. That's what this whole passage is about. Somebody who thinks they know better than God. He stands up to test Jesus. Teacher, he asked, what must I do to inherit eternal life? What is written in the law? He replied. How do you read it? I love this. I love how Jesus teaches. He answered, love the Lord your God with all of your heart and all of your soul, with all of your strength and with all of your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Jesus says, you have answered correctly. Do this and you will live. I don't even know why you came to me in the first place. You got it. Praise God, Bible scholar. But this is what he said. But he wanted, the expert in the law, the religious guy, wanted to justify himself. So he asked Jesus, and so who is my neighbor? I know I'm supposed to love everybody, but who am I supposed to love? I know I'm supposed to love my neighbor, but who is my neighbor? Are y'all tracking with me? In reply, Jesus said, a man was going down to Jerusalem to Jericho. And when he was attacked by robbers, they stripped him of his clothes and beat him and went away, leaving him half dead. How many know the only thing worse than half dead is what? A priest happened to be going down to this on the same road, and when he saw the man, everybody say saw the man. When he saw the man, he passed by on the other side. So too, a Levite, when he came to the place, he saw him and passed on the other side. But a Samaritan, when he was traveling, he came where the man was, and when he saw him, he took pity on him. Which of these three do you think was a neighbor to the man who fell into the hands of robbers? The expert in the law replied, the one who had mercy on him. And Jesus said, go and do likewise. You notice that we have been reading this passage for years. And the reason why we read this parable, this passage, is not because the religious folks that passed by did something wrong. They didn't beat the man up. They didn't kick him in the head. They didn't do anything wrong. The reason why we read this passage over and over to our children in services all across the world is because what they didn't do that they should have done. Even when they saw their neighbor in need, they did nothing. And that's where we are in America today. But the problem is, family, maybe it is that we're not seeing correctly. How many neighbors do you see on the screen? Real quick, throw up your fingers. Two, three, what do we see? Do you know I was at the State House with a group of young, up-and-coming Republicans? And I was preaching along this line, and I said, how many neighbors do you see? And two-thirds of the room said two. See, they don't see the neighbor in the womb as having the same value as the neighbor in the arm. And because of that, it is just an issue. Therefore, the church, we don't have time to be talking about this. Pastor, say something to tickle my, you know. get me shouting and praising God and crying, but we don't want to take time on this issue one because we may not see three neighbors on the screen. There's three neighbors on the screen. Before I get into this thing, do you realize when we go to schools, forget that. We did an event for African Americans the other day, returning to our pro-life roots. This thing where it's woke and cool to take the lives of our own children is only about 50 years old in the black community. Before all of that, you know, back 75, before 80, all of that, everybody in the African American community was pro-life. Entertainers, definitely the church. Jesse Jackson is my favorite pro-life speaker back then before he ran for president on a platform that was pro-choice, pro-abortion. But you know, I had a baby just like this. My wife had a table, and she's got all these cool little things like Catherine. And we put them out on the table at the event. And I had a state rep say, David, are you serious? This is about 26 weeks. Are you serious? I showed him a 10, 12-week-old baby. He said, are you? Wow. Arms, legs, suck his thumb. That's amazing. His wife put the baby to her belly. She said, wow. Wow. So you think that we all know, that we all see, but we don't, because we don't talk about it. Do you realize that most speakers that bring up abortion, including the media, they bring up the word abortion but never talk about abortion? What is the procedure? How does it affect the mother and her? What do we even call it? Is it a fetus? Is it a baby? Do you know legally those words are interchangeable, synonymous with each other? You can watch one news broadcast. If a woman is murdered, and they will say she lost her child. But if they're talking about abortion, they'll call it a fetus the next day. Do you realize if I leave this church right now and I go out into the street and a woman is on her way to the abortion clinic to take the life of her child, if I hit her car and the baby dies, what do I get charged with? Vehicular homicide, not for killing a fetus, but her baby. Literally, family, it is a fetus when you don't want it, and it is a baby when you do. That's facts in America. Amen? We have to take this information and talk about it. Voting starts this week. Early voting starts October 11th. So here's what it's all about, right? Issue one, proposed amendment to enshrine a right to abortion up until birth into the state constitution, right? Now, the first thing you have to understand with a state constitution is that you might say in the media, you'll hear, oh, man, they're talking about it being extreme. It's not at that extreme. This is a pro-life state for years. We have all these pro-life laws on the books already. They're just lying to you. What they're not telling you is that a constitutional amendment is higher than law. It is higher than statute. Statute you can change back and forth. But constitutional amendment, if any law goes sideways or crossways on that constitutional amendment, it is now unenforceable. And I'm going to show you proof of that here in a minute from our friends up in Michigan. Man, if there's ever a reason to hate Michigan because they're a bad football team, they are really knocking it out of the park with this abortion amendment. Like, they're just destroying America. It's horrible. Allows abortion up until birth. Let's read this together. In no case may such an abortion be prohibited if in the professional judgment of the pregnant patient's treating physician. That tells you who wrote the amendment right there. Planned Parenthood, ACLU. What doctor says pregnant patient? Right? If this was really about women and protecting women, why don't they even put the name? The word woman never comes up in the language. But here's the other problem. The pregnant patient's treating physician, i.e. the abortionist, you'll hear in the media, you know, abortion is between a woman and her doctor. How many family physicians you know provide abortions? Less than 25%. We're talking about the McDonald's of healthcare here. This woman goes into the clinic. They put her on pills before she even gets to talk to the doctor, she's talking to some social worker out in the hallway. They put her on the pills that can affect her judgment. She gets in the room. The doctor comes in, and within 7 minutes, it's over. Don't even let her see the screen of what we're really dealing with here. And then it's wham, bam, thank you, ma'am, going out there. They'll take care of your bill at the desk. This is literally the McDonald's of healthcare. But check this out. It is necessary to protect the pregnant patient's life or health. Used to be it was about the patient's life, the life of the mother, right? Now we've got this other word inserted, health. Legally, and again, this is not just CCV. This isn't Focus on the Family. This is the Alliance Defending Freedom, the largest Christian law firm on the planet, 15 Supreme Court wins, including overturning Roe v. Wade with the Dobbs decision last year. That's who goes over this language for us, right? I got them on speed now. Be with them at the end of the month. That word health legally is emotional health, physical health, financial health, familial health. My dad's going to kill me. For any reason on earth, that abortion doctor can say we need to go ahead and take care of this procedure here. But another word here that we see is reproductive decisions. Everybody say reproductive decisions. See, if it was about abortion, then just say abortion. But it's reproductive decisions. Children's Hospital, because I know you've been hearing about the gender stuff, right? How is gender in here? Dave, that doesn't say anything about parental rights in the language. David doesn't say anything about gender transition. Because they took out the word abortion and inserted reproductive decisions, that's a lot broader term. And just to give you an example of how that's used with the gender stuff, here is actual page from Nationwide Children's Hospital. Fertility and Reproductive Health Program. Now, why in the world we need a reproductive health program at Children's Hospital, right? Tells you right here. What causes fertility issues? Some medical conditions or treatments can cause long-term fertility and reproductive health issues, including transgender treatments, right? Now, the media lies with that, too, and says, well, there's nothing wrong with puberty blockers and cross-sex hormone, completely reversible and harmless. Well, then, that's not what you said at the clinic, right? Stop a kid's puberty and, you know, that. How many know puberty has more to do than just gender identity, right? Bone mass, right? Heart, all kind of, just our whole development as humans. We need puberty, and they're stopping them as young as 9 years old in the state of Ohio with 7 gender clinics across the state. Pediatric gender clinics. Double mastectomies of children under 18 years of age. That was confirmed by Colleen Marshall, Channel 4. Amen. We got to be careful. And so here are the 5 different things that are in every individual. Everybody say every individual. What does that mean? Every individual. Right? If they were talking about women, they say women. If they were talking about adults, they say adults. If they wanted to exclude minors, they say excluding minors. But every individual means every individual, and that's where the parental rights piece comes in, and I'll show you in a minute an example. Fertility treatment, again, right here. Continuing one's own pregnancy, miscarriage care, and abortion. Please don't believe that lie. Miscarriage care is not on the line here. Nobody's talking about miscarriage care. A homeless person on the street, if they were struggling and had an ectopic pregnancy, they could go to any hospital in the state of Ohio and for free get miscarriage care. It's just something to try to make people feel like we are extreme on this side versus they're extreme on the other side. Amen? And again, the parental rights. Real quick, I just want to run down a couple of laws that we currently have on the books that would be on the chopping block if this amendment passes. Prohibiting abortion clinics from performing abortions on minor girls without parental consent. 2, requiring abortion clinics follow basic health and safety standards. We have that law in the state of Ohio. How many thinks that's probably a good deal, right? Good idea. 3, ensuring women have the opportunity to see an ultrasound before an abortion. Because again, just like that state rep that came in and had no clue what was going on, multiple women, including traffic victims, have no idea what's going on. It's an emotional decision. And many times they do it over and over again. Protecting children with Down syndrome. How many know they need protected? Their life is valuable just like everybody else's life. So if you've been keeping track of Michigan, this is Governor Whitmer. This is Channel 3 News up in Lansing, who is doing a phenomenal job after the fact and reporting on the truth of their constitutional amendment. But before the fact, it was just like our Ohio media. Where does it say that in the bill? Parental, show me where it says parental loss, parental rights in the bill. Show me where it says gender transition therapy in the bill. But this is what they're talking about now.
All right, we are covering Michigan's Capitol tonight.
Volume, please.
Advocate for abortion access are asking lawmakers to take further steps to expand abortion availability after the passage of Prop 3 last November.
Our political reporter, Rachel Louise Just, brings us the story from Lansing.
While the passage of Proposal 3 wrote abortion access into the Michigan Constitution, Governor Gretchen Whitmer and Planned Parenthood advocates of Michigan say the job is not finished.
There's still so much more work to do on all fronts to make sure that people can really access their reproductive health care.
This week, the group laying out a number of priorities they're looking for the Democratic-led legislature to pass. This includes removing parental consent requirements for minors, removing the 24-hour waiting period for abortions, removing the requirement for only doctors to perform abortions, removing the requirement for providers to be licensed as freestanding surgical outpatient facilities, and removing the restriction on insurance providers covering abortions.
There are many stories that we could tell you about why.
Now, be honest with me. How many, y'all ain't seen me, y'all know me from Adam. How many, when I was breaking down this stuff, in the back of your mind, you're like, it couldn't really be that bad. Like, it just, liars. At my own church last Sunday, everybody was like. But then when they saw the news, now I wish the news would have been that clear and honest before the election, but unfortunately they were not. So that's issue one, vote no. Lastly, just for about 5 minutes, I want to break down this issue two piece. This is legalizing recreational marijuana. It is not a constitutional amendment. It is a statute thing. So it, you know, we could change this back if necessary. But marijuana is a Schedule I narcotic. Now, real quick, when you think of marijuana, what's the first thing comes to your mind? My church, somebody says Snoop Dogg. I'm like, man, no, man, dang. See, that's what's wrong. Right? You think of this plant, you think of somebody smoking, calm down. The stuff y'all used to smoke, some of you back in the day, was only 1% to 3% THC. That is the psychosis-causing element, the cannabinoid, that causes you to be addicted. The stuff that they used to smoke in the 60s was mostly CBD. That plant was mostly CBD. It calms you down and, you know, and things like that. But the stuff that we're talking about today, those little gummy bears, the liquids, the cookies, those things can be as high as 99% THC. It is not even the same product. But because the education is so low on this, people just say, hey, it's no big deal. You know, let people do what they want to do. I just want to show you what's going on all across the country. Every major medical association, law firm, enforcement association, treatment and prevention associations, everybody is against this stuff, and we should too. Here's a couple headlines from across the country. Marijuana worse for teen brain than alcohol. Nobody thought that from the stuff they smoked in the 60s. I can't tell you how many times at the State House, marijuana doesn't kill anybody. I smoked it when I was a kid. No idea what we're talking about right now, right? Here's why it's worse for the teen brain. THC is the number one substance found in 10 to 19-year-old teen suicide victims in Colorado. How many thought about that when I said, what do you think about when you think marijuana? Teen suicides. When did that start? 2012, when Colorado legalized recreational marijuana. Number one substance found, more than alcohol by far. AAA, every state, listen, AAA in opposition to marijuana legalization expects increase in traffic fatalities. Not just accidents, fatalities. Well, Dave, we'll get rid of the black market. Black market is as big as ever, with roughly 75% of marijuana sales in the state coming from unlicensed sellers. How many know the Los Angeles Times is not necessarily your right-wing conservative group? New York's 13% cannabis tax. Dave, we're going to have taxes on this. 10% tax is what we're going to have in the state of Ohio. And a lot of that money is going to inner city schools, just like the casino money. After about 4 or 5 years, that tax money starts getting cut back, just like here in New York, just like Oregon, just like California. Why? Because we have to deal with the deleterious effects of the drug on society. It is a shell game. Highly beloved mayor of Denver, Colorado. He supported legalized recreational marijuana. Money promised for education is going to marijuana regulation and pot industry. They have more green man shops and pot shops than McDonald's and Starbucks combined. I was there last year. You can't rent a car in Michigan without smoking dope because it's all in the fabric of the car. Soon as you cross over the line in Michigan, they bought up every billboard available. For now, like they just own the billboards. Because we're not talking about just some little kid smoking weed to calm down. We're talking about an addiction for profit industry that is wreaking havoc on every state that has been legalized. 100%. Are y'all with me? For every dollar gained in tax revenue, Colorado spent approximately $4.50 to mitigate the effects of legalization. And what about businesses? New York employers can't drug test most worker for marijuana, state announces. How do you do that? If it's legal, yeah, you could smell it on them, but was that from 16 hours ago? Or was that from right before you came into to work? You can't test for intoxication. So can you tell them they can't drive the forklift? How can you legally tell them they can't drive the forklift? Nobody thinks about this because we're still giggling about the marijuana we thought we knew about from back in the day. Family, vote no on issue one. Vote no on issue two. This is not our home, but it is our assignment. Listen, family, I know that's a lot of information really quick, but before I sit down, listen, there's a scripture in Jeremiah 1 where God tells Jeremiah, he was a young man, and he said, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Gave you a purpose, a plan. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Gave you a purpose, a plan, ordained you as a prophet unto the nations. If you're in this room, you feel like you don't have a purpose. You feel like you don't have a relationship with God. Yeah, we're dealing with issue one. Yeah, we're dealing with issue two. But none of this matters if we go to hell. None of this matters if we walk out of here and don't have a relationship with Christ, the author of life itself.